I said, hallelujah. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. I mean, God birthed you for such a time as this. You could have been born in 1800. You could have been born in 1750. But God decided for you to be alive in 2018, to experience something like this, to be able to reach three continents at one time. Come on, that's something to worship. That's something to praise. That's something to be excited about. Come on, come on, come on. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God that wants us to experience more. We serve a God that wants us to have more. So before you take your seats, I want you to high five at least 15,000 people. At least 15,000. Tell them more, 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 more. Amen. I've just been blessed all week long hearing all the messages, and I know you've been blessed as well. And I just feel like I could just maybe just leave you with a little something this today, tomorrow, the next day, whatever. Just lean into this and just add to what's already been said. Somebody repeat after me. I was created to have more. Therefore, I will experience more. I ask myself this question all the time. What does more mean? When I hear the word more, I get hungry. When I hear the word more, I think it's something big. Because the word more, my lips have to come to get more. And I'm in this season of expanding my capacity. I'm in this season of growing and developing. I'm in this season of doing more, experiencing more, and understanding that God created me to have more. And I got to understand, what does more mean? So let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse number 8. We're just going to read a couple of scriptures. I want to let you know I love to tell jokes. And the thing about a joke is it doesn't have to be funny for you to laugh. Thank you, Pastor Gore, for that laugh. I appreciate it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, it says, the Lord God planted, say planted, a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river, say river. Come on, say river. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there, it parted and became four river heads. And we got a couple of names that show up. And then verse 15, it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. If somebody say more. Come on, say more. I want to talk to you about being created for more. Being created for more, not to be average, not to be normal, not to live a normal life, a mediocre life, but to live above average. Say above average. God wants us to have more. He wants us to have more. Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that the Lord God planted a garden. That word garden in the Hebrew means enclosure. He planted an enclosure in what's called Eden. That word Eden in the Hebrew means luxury, pleasure, and delight. So God created an enclosure. Come on with me on this. God created an enclosure of luxury, pleasure, and delight. God created an enclosure. Anybody ever played in a sandbox before? Anybody ever played in a box before? If anybody lives in a house that's like a box. He created this enclosure, but the enclosure, what was inside the enclosure, was luxury, pleasure, and delight. And then he said, I took man and I put him inside of this enclosure. So we were created, we were called, we were created to experience more than what we're experiencing right now. We've been hearing it day after day that there's a shift happening. We've been hearing it day after day that we're moving into a new season. God's already created the season. God just wants us to live in what he's created us to have. So I'm looking at the scripture. I'm looking at the verses. It's telling me that God created an enclosure. He planted, established an enclosure in luxury, pleasure, and delight. And then when we get to verse 10, it says that a river, say with me, river, went out of this enclosure of luxury, pleasure, and delight. That word river means prosperity. So you mean to tell me, God, that you created this environment, that this enclosure of luxury, pleasure, and delight was created, and out of this enclosure comes a river called prosperity? Yes. And then it says that that one river outside of the enclosure became four river heads or four prosperity heads. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. My environment, the way God created me, the best place for me to be, my ideal environment is luxury, pleasure, and delight. So God says, I've created this enclosure. Out of the enclosure, bust into four river heads. Now, when I think about four river heads coming out of an enclosure, I immediately get this picture of multiple streams of income. So when God created my ideal environment, he never created me just to rely on one source of income. He never created me just to rely on my 9-to-5, but he's given me creative ideas. He's given me wisdom and insight. He's given me the cleverness of God to expand what I already have. So when we're looking at this scripture, follow me here. We're looking at the scripture, then everything begins to come out of this garden. Now, I want to read to you what the different names of these rivers are. One is called increase. One is called increase. The other one is called bursting forth. The next one is called rapid. And then the last one, the Euphrates, is called fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Okay, are you with me? Are you with me? So I need us to understand that God's created us for such a time as this, not to be okay, not to be all right, not to be just getting by, but to be enjoying life to the full until it overflows. We're here today not just to be here to say we were here, but we're here to say, I want to get as much information as I can. You're tuned in on this station right now. I want to get as much information as I can so that I can be better when I walk out of here. My life should change. My situation should change. My circumstance should change. Why? Because the Bible says that the circumstance, your situation, is subject to change. So if my situation is subject to change, then that means change is king and situations are servants. Y'all missed that. Change is king and situations are servants, which means change tells the situation what's going to happen. So I'm looking at this and I'm understanding this, that God's created me to experience so much more. The time is now. Say the time is now. Say the time is now. So God wants me to increase. God wants me to burst forth. God wants me to have rapidness and fruitfulness. So if I could read this to you, the best way I know how, it says, what comes out of the enclosure of luxury and delight and pleasure is prosperity. And that prosperity should become better, be extremely full, to break open, happen in a short time with great speed, and be like an avalanche of fruit. That's the environment that God's created for us to be in. God wants us to be in the best environment ever. Okay, get on your feet. Get on your feet. Real quick. Even at home, get on your feet. We're just gonna try this. I can't yell. I don't know how to. I try. You want me to try real quick? Yeah. See, it didn't work. It didn't feel good in my soul. Now, real quick, I want you just to take a step. We did it earlier. Just take a step. Just take one step. On the count of three. One, two, three. Take another one. One, two, three. Now, prophetically, this is what we're saying. Okay, God, you created me, but before you created me, you created my ideal environment. And so now that you've created my ideal environment, I'm just going to take a step into my ideal environment. And as I take the step into my ideal environment. I'm going to begin to walk around my ideal environment and begin to see myself in luxury, see myself in pleasure, see myself in delight. I see prosperity coming out of me. I see multiple streams of income coming out of me. My ideal environment is not where I am now, but it's where God created me to be now. Come on. Did you feel it? My situation has already shifted because I get to walk around my ideal environment now. I need to see it on the canvas of my imagination. Abraham was with God, had an encounter with God. God said, go outside, count the stars. If you're able to number them, so shall your descendants be. If you're able to number them, so shall your descendants be. Now here's the question. When you go, you can have a seat. When you go home and you walk around the stars at night, you can see the stars, yes? But now what happens to the stars during the day? Do they leave? They're still there. So the stars are still there. You might not be able to see them with your natural eye. Come on. But they're still there. So every time Abraham was walking, even during the day, the promise was still there. You might not be able to see the promise during the day, but at night, the promise is there during the day. The promise is there at night. The promise is there during the day. The promise is there. Even if I can't see it with my natural eye, the promise is still the promise. The environment is still the environment. Where God wants me to be is where God wants me to be. It does not change. So just because my circumstance, just because my situation does not add up to what God has promised, doesn't mean that I change my countenance. I walk around like every need is met. I remember a couple of months ago, I was trusting God to go to Los Angeles for Christmas. I've got five kids, not five kids. I've got a family of five. I curse that now. Five kids, I just want to stay with the three. Yeah, prophetic. No, I don't prophesy to myself. No, I don't receive that. I've got a family of five. And so we were trusting God to go to Los Angeles for Christmas. And I didn't want to use my savings, Pastor. I didn't want to use my savings account. I was just trusting God for the money to come. And I had a speaking engagement. And I asked the church, the pastor of the church, hey, would you mind extending my return to after January? Because I'm going to go to the States and I'll just come back. And it's all no problem. It's not going to be extra. Not a problem. And so I flew. I'm preaching in the church on a Sunday. I told the pastor I'm leaving Monday to go to Los Angeles. I didn't have a ticket. Didn't have enough money for the ticket. But see, I'm operating in my ideal environment. Luxury, pleasure, and delight. And I'm teaching and I'm telling them, you got to have some audacious faith. You got to do some daring things. You got to do something that scares you, something that causes all kind of bravery to come out of you. And I'm preaching to them. And then Sunday goes by and I still don't have all the money. Monday morning comes. I still don't have all the money. I look to my wife. What are we going to do today? Let's go to the mall. Well, how are we going to go to the mall when we trust in God for money to go to L.A.? We're just going to look around. We're going to window shop. Anybody gone window shopping before? Oh, come on, don't play me. And we went window shopping. And then 4 o'clock came because they told me they're going to pick me up at 4 o'clock to take me to the airport. And so we loaded up all our bags into the truck. I had 8 bags. 7 of them were empty because my plan was to fill them up in Los Angeles and bring them back. Now, that's a bold move, right? No money for the tickets. And I got the audacity, the unmitigated gall to have 7 empty bags to fill them up. Come on. Somebody say audacious. Somebody say more. So we're driving to the airport. We're talking. The guy's talking to me. Hey, what time's your flight? 8:30-ish. Because I was looking at the flights. I knew there was something at 8:30. So I was like, I'm just going to get a flight at 8:30. And I'm going into my head. I'm thinking, okay, now here's a man of faith, man of God. Just finished preaching about audacious faith. The guy was there in the service. He's driving me to the airport. He has no idea that I don't have my tickets. I could tell him, just stay around just in case so you can take me back to the hotel. But I decided to cut all the strings. I decided to get rid of all of the safety nets. I told him, when you pull up, just take my bags off the bed of the truck. I'll load them up on the carts. I got my 8-year-old son. I got my wife, my 6-year-old daughter, my 10-month-old baby girl, and we loaded these bags up and we started pushing them in, not having a ticket at all. Are you with me? And we walked into Johannesburg Airport, OR Tambo Airport, and we walked through the security as if we had tickets. We got there. I looked at my wife. She said, what are we going to do? And so I went up to the first counter. I didn't go to Delta because I knew it would be too much. Sorry. I went to the first one. We're sold out. Okay. Went to the next one. We're sold out. Went to the next one. We're sold out. But let me check another airline. Checked another airline. Okay, we can put you on. The flight's leaving in 45 minutes. It's going to be 49,000 rand. Last time I looked at my account, there was 14,000 rand. There's no way. I was trusting God for some money to come in. So I went back to the other airline to see if they had some opportunities, and they still were sold out. Nobody canceled, nothing. So I went back and I said, is that the best you can do? Can you go under 49? And so he started clicking on the computer. And I always wonder, what are they clicking when they're typing all of this stuff? They ever wonder that? What are they clicking? And he keeps clicking and clicking and clicking. And then he says, okay, I can do 39,000. Well, I looked at my account, it was still 14,000 in there. I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to go back to my wife. I'm going to talk to her. When I come back, you're going to get it down to 29,000. He said, no, bro. Sorry. I said, okay. I went back to my wife. I said, best I could do is 39. I said, check the account. She had been checking the account. Nothing was in there. Check the account. When she checked the account this time, to the penny, everything that we needed was there. I walked up to the counter, handed him my credit card. Wasn't by faith. I knew it was there. He swiped it. It went through. He says, guy, this flight is leaving in 5 minutes. We ran over to the ticketing counter. They tagged our bags. The supervisor started yelling at me, saying this flight should have been closed a long time ago. You need to hurry up. I said, I can only move as fast as the workers move. And then the phone rang. Say, the phone rang. Whew. Man, that was a good phone call. The phone rang. She picked it up. She's talking. Then she looks at me, hangs the phone up, and shakes her head and says, there's a storm just over the airport. No flights in, no flights out. I said, hey, I'm just operating in faith. That storm was over the airport just for me to be able to get on that airplane. And this is what it did. It showed my kids how to live by faith. You're watching the Faith Broadcasting Network. What are you going to do to live by faith? You've been trusting God. You've been believing God. Things haven't been showing up. But will you continue to trust and know that God is sovereign? Will you continue to step out in faith, even when it doesn't look or make sense, but it makes faith? We were created for more. Now, think about this, being created for more. And I remember the story in 2 Samuel chapter 5. When David was anointed king. David was anointed king, and immediately the Philistines heard about it, and they went to go challenge him as the king. And when he heard that they were coming to challenge him as king, they were coming to destroy him, he immediately ran, not from the thing that scared him, he ran to it. And he inquired of the Lord, what should I do? And the Lord said, go and fight, because I'm going to fight with you. I don't know what you're going through, what you're experiencing, but I want to tell you right now, God is fighting with you. The amazing thing of living by faith is this. When you live by faith, haters are going to come. And I know I've heard it said before that, you know, you need to put on your hater blockers when haters come. Anybody heard that before? Hater blockers, put on your sunglasses, whatever that means. I don't care. But this is what a hater is. A hater is someone who is critical. The word critical means fault finder. Now, I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California, and there we have a lot of earthquakes. And we have a lot of earthquakes because there's fault lines and they're constantly moving, which causes earthquakes. So in order to be a fault finder, you constantly have to be looking down. Come on. You got to be, if you're a hater, you're constantly looking down because you're trying to find fault with somebody. But remember, we are blessed. Say, I'm blessed. And I've never seen the blessing down. It's always been up. The blessing always brings a person up. So when a hater comes and they're finding faults with you, your response is, you're hating on the residue of my blessing. You're hating on what happened last week. I've moved on to next week. Haters love to bring up your past. They love to doubt your present and talk you out of your future. But when you live by faith, you know that God's got me front, back, side to side. No matter what I'm going through, God will see me through. I was created for more. I will experience more. All the seed that we've sown, we will experience more. More. Say it with me. More. More. I did something last night that scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. I don't know what a heebie-jeebie is, but it scared it. We sold from myself, my personal, and from the ministry, 15,000 rand total into the broadcasting network because we believe in the vision. I said to my wife, I said, babe, what could we sow from the ministry? And she said, well, what are you thinking? And she sent back a figure, and then I sent back, I think we're supposed to do more. And I'm gonna be real with you. I told her, but it scares me. And when it scares you, that's the time you need to do it. Come on, when it scares you, that's the time to do it. When your hand is shaking a little bit, that's the time for you to do a thing. When it doesn't make sense, that's when you should do it, when it doesn't make sense. If you've got it all together, if you've got it all figured out, it doesn't require faith. But if you're going to live by faith, it can't make sense. It should scare you a little bit. We were created for more. I want more. I want more. More. I want more. Come on, get on your feet. I want more. More of your glory, more of your power, more of your anointing, more blessing so that I can be a blessing to others. I want more of your kingdom. I want more opportunities to advance your kingdom, to reach more people, to deliver more people, to help more people. I want more. I will not settle for less. I won't settle for less than what God has for me. I want more. I will see more. I will experience more. My kids will have more. My kids' kids will have more. My church will have more. My church will have more than they ever thought they could have. It doesn't matter my tribe. Doesn't matter my color. Doesn't matter how tall, how short, how big, how small, how wide. I will have more. I've been through too much. I've seen too much. God has promised me so much, and I will not quit. I'm going to fight until I win. I'm going to fight until I win. I'm going to get everything. Every single thing that God promised me, I'm going to get it. That's my heart. That's my passion. That's my desire. My wife denied me 3 times. Where's she at now? She got all my kids. I will not be denied. No. I offered her a barbecue dinner. She said no. I kept offering until she said yes. And this is how I did it. She was with the last guy. And I became her best friend. And when they broke up, here's a soda you can cry on. And she smelled something. She said, I want more. I will not be denied. God's called me for such a time as this. God saw it fit for me to be born for such a time as this. Say it with me. I want more.